Every industry has an element of hospitality that needs to be learned. It's something where, when I was in the power sports space, so I was at Polaris, we had, in some of our segments, we had like 80%+ market share. Tons. But that didn't stop us from creating experiences for our customers. We had what we called Camp Razor, where we stood up basically a city in the middle of the desert in Southern California for almost a week and brought in a concert or a venue, Nitro Circus, whatever it might be, to really create this fun time to kick off the riding season as a give back to the community.
So I'm really excited to bring you my chat with Justin Ulrich today, which is a really insightful look at local marketing of our hospitality businesses and the impact that we can generate positively for our business if we get that local marketing right. Now, Justin is also the host of the Local Marketing Lab podcast, and we are going to bring you some real insights into what it takes to really market your business to the people that are closest to you. In hospitality, or certainly for restaurants, coffee shops, there's no point marketing to someone who's on the other side of the world. We're marketing to the people who are right next door to us. So today we're going to be looking at the profound impact that community support can have in hospitality and the personal stories of you, the owner or the manager, that resonate with your customers. We're also going to look at leveraging tools like Google My Business and how that can enhance your local engagement, as well as how you can craft memorable experiences by encouraging user-generated context. So we're going to talk about this and so much more. So let's jump into it. Just a reminder, if you want to create great leadership, engaged employees, and crave-worthy cultures in your businesses, then we've got the solution for you. Right now, we have got spaces for our coaching programs that can help develop your business into one that leads. Find me on LinkedIn and drop me a message, and let's have a conversation about how we can help your business to the next level. So very soon, we are opening the doors to our signature leadership development program for you and your leaders. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to be one of the first to know about when this is open. There's a massive opportunity to level up your people in the next 12 weeks. In a way that is different from any other online course or training program they will ever do. And we bake in how you can scale that learning to the rest of your organization. Remember, subscribe to the podcast to be one of the first to know when doors open. So Justin, thank you so much for joining me on the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. It's great to have a fellow podcaster and someone who is actually doing big things for Hospitality Podcast as well. Join me and chat about marketing today.
You bet. Thanks for having me. This should be a lot of fun.
I know we've interacted quite a lot on LinkedIn and then obviously within the digital hospitality room, but this is obviously the first time we've had the opportunity to, although digitally, sit down and chat. And I'm looking forward to finding out a little bit more about you. So let's start there. Just give us the 30,000 foot view of your career and where you've got to today.
Yeah. So my career spans tons of different industries. I started off as a tax accountant and figured out pretty quickly that wasn't the life I wanted to live. So I pivoted after that first kind of corporate role into marketing. And I've always been in kind of demand gen, channel marketing, partner marketing, focused on technology, automation, digital marketing, stuff like that. And that's been across industries from telecom to POS to payments to software in a couple of different industries in the software space. And then also I had a quick stint B2C working at Polaris and leading their off-road marketing team for their Razor and General brand. So a wealth of knowledge that's kind of well-rounded across industries. I think the value that comes from experience like that is that you don't come up in an echo chamber and you're able to bring new insights and new ideas into areas that otherwise may have not seen certain types of marketing or content or whatever it might be. So that's kind of my career in a nutshell.
Yeah. And you're very similar to me in a way. And obviously you haven't, I don't know, really you haven't cool. been an operator, have you, in the hospitality space? Whereas I have, but what my point is, that varied background that we have, like I've worked in the private sector in outside of hospitality, but when you do come to a specific industry, you bring that wealth of knowledge then, those experiences that you've had mm-hmm. that can give you a different perspective on you know what other people see as being the norm.
Exactly. I think many times in any given industry, I mentioned the echo chamber, it's a lot of the same stuff. You hear the term sea of sameness. So there's people do things well and other people catch on, and you know, marketing is pretty much in many instances, it's like the highest form of flattery, like being able to pull from what other people are doing that's successful and implement yourself. And so there's a lot of like, once somebody does the new thing, a lot of people catch up and it's a lot of the same thing over and over. So coming from a new space helps to kind of engage in new and different ways that helps cut through the clutter and the noise that all just becomes the same old same. And you're able to really get through that and get to your audience that you're trying to reach.
Now, very quickly, let's talk about Evocalize and what that is as a package and what it brings to their clients. Just very quickly, let's just touch on that.
Yeah. Yeah, at its highest level, Evocalize automates local marketing based on local data. So we sell into multi-location businesses. We sell into technologies. We sell into agencies. But really what we help do is take data that's location specific and turn on and off digital marketing across Google, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, based on any data source. So if you have a Des Moines location that's slow on sales for the week on Wednesday, it'll automatically trigger a promo that we've already kind of pre-approved to help get sales back in line. Or if you have excess inventory, we could automatically launch promos or ads. Really any type of goal you want to reach, we can leverage digital ads to do it with any local data.
Fantastic. So let's get into it then. Let's talk about how, obviously restaurants rely heavily on the local people around them, which brings us quite nicely in how to, social media is a bit of an enigma, or it has been, and it's changing all the time. But what, as of today, are some of the strategies or the tactics that restaurant owners or managers can use? And I suppose this extends to hotels as well. What can they use to really reach the local people who are around their businesses?
That's a good question. The podcast that we run is called the Local Marketing Lab, and we have this similar conversation on every episode. And we get a lot of insights from high ups at different organizations that all, like, it's a pretty common thread that, like, connecting with a local community is so important. Eric Knott of PDQ, he's the chief operating officer over there. He talked about becoming the mayor. And really what you want to do is insert yourself into every facet of the local community. Little league games, you know, you want to go, you know, reach out to people at churches, at schools, at basketball games. Like, try to really incorporate yourself and your business into the day-to-day within the community. And it doesn't have to be that you're showing up and saying, hey, here's a flyer, buy my stuff. Right. It's you're there, you're telling the stories of the community, and you're really creating a loyal base based on your engagement of the community. And they see the good things that you're doing and the highlights of the different folks and the heroes of the community that you're sharing on your profiles on social. And really it helps to create a much stronger bond with the community than you otherwise would if you were just pushing out branded content. You know, historically, I think marketers would rely pretty heavily on, you know, high dollar, highly produced assets that they could leverage and push out nationwide. And really, it's becoming more of a local game with social media. You know, every operator has the opportunity to get their brand out in front of their specific community in ways that we've never had before in the past. And social is fairly new, right? It's something that it's only been around for really a blink of an eye if you look at relative to the timeline of things. So you're not behind the eight ball if you haven't started yet. A lot of times we encourage folks to just go out and get started, you know, identify some things that maybe they think might work from a social perspective, content they might want to create, highlighting those community members, highlighting people in you know, back of house, highlighting processes, showcasing things to tell stories that otherwise people would have never seen. And it's a way for you to get that engagement and get the reach that you have never had in the past, especially for the price that you can get it for nowadays.
Community is so, it's essential, certainly to restaurants, you know, and that is ultimately how, you know, it's about building connections, isn't it? It's not just about, mm-hmm. you know, the next, you know, the latest trend in marketing. And, you know, this goes beyond that, you know, building that community and making that human connection with people is essentially what sort of keeps people, you know, wanting to keep coming back again and again.
Mm-hmm. I've got a story of, so for those who can't see my lower half right now, I'm wearing sweatpants and I'm roasting, so I'm pulling them up. So now I'm wearing capris. there's a local, so I live in Denver, North Carolina. It's a small town. Nobody's heard of, you know, just north of Charlotte. There's a mom and pop pizzeria up here called Giovanni's. And my wife was looking on the local Facebook page for something. This is like 2 years ago, and just kind of scrolling. And it was during coming right out of COVID, right? A lot of people falling on hard times. And there was a family in there that they had lost their jobs, both the mom and the dad. And Giovanni's was gracious enough to go in and say, hey, you know, you're welcome to bring your entire family in for every meal of the day, and for as long as you need to, and it's on us. And to me, that story really stuck with me because it showed that they were willing to go above and beyond to support their community and to really help others. And in turn, like, that's created, you know, an undying loyalty on my part, because I want to support businesses mm-hmm. who are going to, you know, do that type of thing and support the folks and lift them up when they need it. You know, we talk a lot about, especially in the digital hospitality channel, the rising tide raising all ships. Yeah. Like, it's something that just as humans, we need to do a better job of just ensuring that we're uplifting to others and encouraging and giving hope where otherwise they may not be able to find it, or they wouldn't have expected to find
it. Yeah. And, you know, I talk a lot about the leadership element, you know, the leadership side of business. And it, often, you know, what is missing in the world is that compassion and that care. And you're talking about exactly that there. This business has shown its human side. It's shown that compassion. Mm-hmm. It's shown that care to that family. And look at the impact it has. And it won't just be you. It'll be others. Everyone will see that capacity to show compassion. And that's what really draws people in, certainly longer term for a business.
Sure. Yeah. I've shared this story right now on your podcast. Now, many of your listeners aren't going to be in Denver, North Carolina, yeah. but I've shared it on others. I've shared it with coworkers. I've shared it with my local community, with people, my close friends group, folks at church, folks at school, with the kids' schools, whatever. And who knows what impact that has had on inspiring support from those guests to continue to support that business. But like, I've got a close group of friends that we all live in the same area. The kids are all the same age. We all hang out pretty often. We do get togethers at each other's houses, and we're always getting Giovanni's at different homes. It's like, we all support them because of this type of thing. Yeah. Now, granted, it's good pizza, but there's other options, believe it or not. There are other options, but we continue to support them because of, you know, what they've shown, you know, to the community.
Yeah, I think it's certainly more so now in this day and age where a lot of people don't see, a lot of the general public, they see corporate names and chains, and there's that separation almost from that human connection to, you know, who's really behind this mm-hmm. business. And this is where, you know, certainly independents have a really strong footing in, isn't it? They have got the opportunity to really connect on a human level to their people that, you know, the big chains can't possibly do.
It's funny. It is a good point. But they can learn from the individual operators, right?
Yeah.
The mom and pops, the one-offs. Corporate doesn't have to push out the same, you know, same old same across every one of their channels. Like they now with technology, like that's what we help do. But you can empower your local offices to create their own content and push that stuff out. Like you give them guardrails, but
Absolutely. That's
content at scale. And then it also allows you to, you know, if you have local engagement with community on social media, it opens the door. Once you tell the stories enough, people are going to start telling your story for you, you know, and user generated content is money. It's free. It's some of the most impactful content that you can have out there. If you think about the customer journey, awareness, consideration, decision, you're trying to guide guests through this journey to get them to want to make the decision to come to your business, right? When you have testimonials, user-generated content, pieces like that, it's going to, that's what I would call consideration set content. That's getting people to think, oh man, yeah, I should go there. Like, oh, this person loves it. That's why we have reviews on Google. That's why whenever we search up like best burger near me, we're going into Google. We get the map. There's a 3-pack. Okay, awesome. If you're showing up on that, others, you know, they're gonna as you know, customers or you know prospects to this business, we're going through a series of decisions. And if you look from like an information hierarchy standpoint, they're placing all the information in the order that matters to get us through barriers to make the decision. So if I go to the map, okay, it's a map. This is what's near me. Okay, of these places near me, what else is labeled first? It's like, okay, they've got star rating. Okay, they have this many stars. Okay, well, how many? Okay, well, now I know how many they have. Oh, now they have price, you know, whether it's dollar signs or actual dollar amounts. Like, so I'm working my way through all these different barriers that Google knows that prospects are up against, right? It, you know, we're going to have to make these decisions. So they're trying to help us make the decision as quickly as possible so that they can continue to drive people back to their platform. But all that said, it's just like, okay, you know, if you don't have all of these things in order from a Google My Business page perspective or the different platforms, like, you're really missing out on joining in to the conversation at the right time, in the right place, right? During the journey when they are ready to, they're trying to make that decision of where to go. So that consideration set content is key to help get them across the finish line.
Just on the point of Google My Business, what are some of the best practices that you would suggest people employ to make sure they're in the right, you know, because it's a very powerful tool for businesses, certainly, as you said, you know, people just Google what's around them. What are some of the high level best practice points that we need to consider to make sure we're getting the best return on that as a tool?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider, and I'm probably going to miss a bunch, but it's like you want to make sure you're driving as many reviews as possible, right? The more reviews you get, and the rating of the review being in a good range around like a 4.3, 4.5. You don't want 5-star ratings all the time because it doesn't seem like it's real. But if you get that range and you're driving them often enough, the algorithms serve you up more often. So that's one of the things that help you get into the 3-pack. But if you're lagging on, you know, generating those reviews and you haven't had reviews for the last 9 months, then they're going to likely serve up someone else who's driving business now, is how Google interprets it, and driving a good experience now from the company who's driving more recent and more consistent reviews. You want to make sure your store hours are updated. Nothing's more aggravating than seeing store hours like during a holiday or whatever and thinking, oh, they're open, and you're not. Or you have your whole team come into work for the holiday and you haven't updated and it shows that you're off on Google. So that's a huge missed opportunity. One thing that I heard recently, which I thought was interesting, is on your Google My Business account, This is from Heather Cox. Cox Codes. Shout out to her. So, and she's part of our digital hospitality group. If you haven't, you mentioned it earlier, but if you're listening and you haven't checked that out, if you go to Kelly Barbecue Media's page, they post a link to this event every Wednesday where they have industry leaders come on and just talk about what's new and what to be aware of on various different topics around business. But anyways, it was brought up by Heather that on your Google My Business account, go in and post content because people are going to be searching for other things other than just best burger near me, right? So if you post blogs or whatever it might be on your Google My Business account, if you attach that content, then you're allowing the search engines to find, you know, you based on additional content. And I believe the more content you post on there consistently, it also helps to serve you up. If anything, you're giving someone the ability in that step in their journey when they're looking for a place to go to see more about your business. So if you're highlighting folks on the team or highlighting the community, that's an opportunity on that page to jump into that spot in the journey to communicate that, hey, we support the community, you know. But there are tools out there just on the tech side that help to manage a lot of this stuff. Like if you're managing one location, it's doable. It can be a pain in the butt, but if you're managing 100, 1,000, like you need tools to scale. So there are tech tools out there to help do these things that we're talking about. One example is like you have like a Birdot or a tool like that that helps you to generate online reviews. Or if you have like Ovation is another one that helps you to generate reviews, you know, on site, get feedback on site with just a 2-question survey. Those are great tools. I think the other part is like from anything marketing, if you don't have your experience nailed down within the four walls of your business and you're trying to you're spending marketing dollars, time and effort to drive people to your location, you're just driving them toward a massive leaky bucket. So I highly recommend like making sure that you have the experience nailed down to where you are creating that, you know, the 5-star experience for folks that are coming in. You're creating moments of surprise and delight, and you're engaging with clients. You're checking in on them. You're listening to them, not clients, but your guests. You're listening to them and you're incorporating feedback. You know, that's the type of stuff you'll start generating reviews on your own that way, just by showing that you care. Folks will just naturally go in, you know, and post about it. But if you don't have that nailed down and you're spending money on marketing, you're wasting it. Yeah. Once you have that nailed down, you could start doing more work around whether it's content creation or you're pushing out Google search ads or your, you know, ads on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it might be. Then you could start driving people to that good experience. And by nature of getting a good experience, it'll start leading to building more reviews. But like I mentioned, Birdeye, those tools can actually help you to generate those reviews as well.
Like I talk often about what, you know, as an industry, we don't sell, you know, great coffee. We don't sell great food. Right. We absolutely sell that experience because ultimately people can just go to the supermarket if they want food. They're coming to us for that level of difference. And you're right, marketing isn't a cheap, it's not a cheap expense, a cheap process to integrate into our business. And the last thing we want to be doing is bringing people to a substandard experience. Because, undoubtedly, that will then drive the lower starred reviews, which are, you know, what we don't want ultimately. They're great for learning from, but as far as generating future business, it then begins to cause us a problem. And you're right, that is so, so important. And I think this probably ties into my next question. And I want to circle back to the user-generated content, which is, as you say, it's so powerful. It's that social proof, isn't it? What can we do?
Yeah.
What tactics or strategies can we do to drive an increase in the user-generated content? Obviously, experience plays a big part of that. But what other things can slot into place to help us encourage people to produce and share that content?
There's all sorts of different things that you can try, whether it's I had a guest on our podcast, Tim Sweetman. So he was talking about his Chick-fil-A location. They did a giveaway for Christmas. They basically brought everybody in. They gave kids free. It was during their family night. They gave free kids meals away. They had a cow there dressed as Santa. You know, the kid, they were asking, what do you want for Christmas or whatever, as the kids were sitting on the Santa cow's knee, you know, and they were actually taking notes, right, of what kids were asking for. But they created a moment then and there for people to post about, hey, at Chick-fil-A, check this out. Like, this is cool. This is interesting. This is new. This is something different, right? They care about us. They support the community. Like, people are going to post about it, right? But then what was really cool that they did is they took that list and they invited everybody back a week later to say, hey, you know, we want to bring you guys in. We're going to pay for your meal for your whole family. We really appreciate you guys stopping by. And they had like a customer appreciation night. And when they got there, they had, he said they spent thousands and thousands of dollars on gifts. Everything that every kid asked for, they purchased, whether it was from a Lego set to a PlayStation, right? They got everything for every child. And that's an incredible experience that is going to help generate not only loyalty that's just undying from your base, but also those experiences are getting shared online. And that type of stuff is like what has virality to it.
Absolutely.
You know, when you really create moments where you're giving back and it's, you know, you're supporting a cause and you're helping someone in need or, you know, whatever it might be, those things are the ones that really are impactful in terms of marketing value, if that's what you're looking for.
And when we talk about, you know, creating these experiences, and every hospitality business, whether you're a restaurant, hotel, coffee shop, they create an experience one way or another. What we don't, or the holy grail of experience, is that memorable experience. And what you've just described to me there was undoubtedly just that. And it's something people will remember for the rest of their lives. But it's the word of mouth as well that comes from that is, you know, 100%. The life of that, the life cycle of that as a marketing effort is probably going to be much greater than most other things that we can do traditionally.
Way greater. Yeah. He had a lot of good examples. He also talked about, I'm going to get this wrong, but there's an associate, or there's a organization they work with. It's called Buy My Debt or something like that, where organizations like medically, they'll, like, if people are, say, $1,000 in debt, they'll sell that debt to this company for $10. And as any given, you know, geek off the streets, if you want to quote Regulators, an old Warren G song, I can go in and I could donate money and I could buy up other people's debt and pay it off for them for a penny on the dollar, literally 1 cent to a dollar. So they did another give back where they generated, like, I don't know if it was $13,000 or $15,000 or something like that, and paid for, like, basically, I can't do the math, and I was sick all week, but like $1 million in debt.
Wow.
Debt. Things that hold people back and keep them from progressing, keep them held under water, right? Yeah. They were able to pay that off, and they were able to send a note to those individuals saying, hey, you know, we know you've had a rough go. We wanted to let you know we paid off your debts, you know, from your family over at local Chick-fil-A. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible experience.
And
that you were impacting someone's life.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, a lot of times businesses, and there's probably a fine line to be tread with something like this, because, you know, there's people out there who go, mm-hmm. Oh, you're only doing that for the marketing or whatever. But it's, if you are able to have a genuine impact on someone's life like that, and that's, you know, was probably going to be absolutely blowing those people away when that, you know, when that's all paid off. Like,
yeah, you know,
there's nothing more personal than that.
Nothing at all. Exactly. You're 100% correct. I spoke with Jeff Alexander when he was on the pod, and he talked about the hospitality industry, and this kind of gets back to what you said earlier. It's turned into, post-COVID, it's turned into like the food industry, And in many cases, hospitality has been lost.
Absolutely.
And I think we've all seen it. Like, we go to places, it's like the service is just subpar. The attitudes just aren't great. You know, at the end of the day, it just is not what it used to be. And I think there's a massive, massive opportunity. If you do what you're talking about, and if you focus on hospitality, if you create those moments, you know, of surprise and delight, if you, you know, dig into the community and you really, you know, tie yourselves into the fabric of everything around you, it's like a blue ocean. There's so much opportunity for your efforts to get pushed out and to gain legs and, you know, amplify your reach way more than any time in the past when everybody was kind of on the same playing field. Right now, they're all on the same playing field. The bar is super low. You just got to step up a little bit and you're going to win. Yeah.
And that's it. You know, once you start doing that, people start talking about it and that message starts to resonate and reach more people. But again, you know, what you're talking about there is even hospitality. And I talk about this quite often, is that hospitality isn't for the hospitality industry. It's for every industry. Because when we start bringing genuine hospitality into the mix of any interaction between two people or a group of people, that's where that memorable element comes from, because it's personalized in a way. You know, we're not just talking about policy and procedure that we have to follow. We're talking about actually, okay, what does this customer, what does this client need? How can we meet that need? You know, within the realms of being reasonable, obviously. And once you do that, it's not, you know, it goes beyond what that customer expects. And especially when we're talking about long-term retention, and you'll probably be able to add some more insight to that, it probably has a big impact when we're able to offer that sort of service on the loyalty of those people.
Yeah, think about, again, back to the sea of sameness. You have an example. If I go to Lowe's or Home Depot, I'm going to a hardware store to pick up the thing that I need. I go into Lowe's, you know, I'm, at least at our local location, I'm getting a sticker for my kid. You know, they're giving a little birdhouse for them to build. Like, they're doing all sorts of different things to stand out. I know that Home Depot has similar programs as well, but it's like, if you do those things where you're creating those memories, creating experiences, you know, you're just being hospitable. Like you said, it doesn't just apply to hospitality. It applies to every industry. Every industry has an element of hospitality that needs to be learned. It's something where when I was in the power sports space, so I was at Polaris, we had in some of our segments, we had like 80%+ market share. Tons. But that didn't stop us from creating experiences for our customers. We had what we called Camp Razor, where we stood up a city in the middle of the desert in Southern California for, you know, almost a week, and brought in a concert or a venue, Nitro Circus, whatever it might be, to really create like this fun time to kind of kick off the riding season as a give back to the community. And we would have like 25,000 people show up. Like, it was massive. But even in that space, when you are far and away the leader, you still need to create those experiences to keep your loyal customer base, because somebody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
Especially when you get smaller companies that have more of a guerrilla approach, they're going to be able to come in and just piece by piece. You can look what like Indian Motorcycles has done to Harley Davidson as another example. Harley's a massive beast in the space, but Indian just keeps taking away share, you know? Because they're creating good experiences for the customer.
Absolutely. And as we're going to say, there's no way you get to an 80% share doing something that's different without creating those amazing experiences. Or, you know, it hasn't even got to be, say, for example, with bars, it's not just got to be in the moment that you interact with people. It's part of the brand, isn't it? You know, and that's how you're always top of mind then. And that's why, and the same goes for restaurants. Even if you have got the lion's share of your local community's custom, you cannot rest on those laurels, because if you do, someone's going to fill that gap and start taking that away from you.
Look at, yeah, perfect example in this industry, Chick-fil-A. They're obviously the gold standard, but they get it. They've nailed down the experience within each one of their locations to the point that it's like, it's standard. If you know, if you go to Chick-fil-A, you know what you're getting. Yeah. You're getting hospitality. You're getting a great, polite experience. You're getting a welcoming, warm experience for you and your family, right? The quality never differs. If in the instance that something does go wrong, like it's instantly, you know, made better, they are 100% focused on the culture of their brand being one of hospitality and providing the best possible experience that they can provide. And they, like you said, they are lion's share, like massive throughout compared to everybody else in the industry. But this is what they realize they need to do to, you know, maintain that share. It's like everyone wants a hospitable experience, and it is differentiated compared to every other, most other places like fast food or fast casual that you would go to. It's, you're paying about the same amount, maybe a little more, but that experience is, it's uncomparable.
Now, we've spoken a lot about the fundamentals of connection, and you know, ultimately marketing is exactly that. We're looking to create that connection or to resonate with our target audience. But obviously the online presence is still a key part of that. How can we, or should I phrase it, what sort of content from a socials point of view is something, are the things that really connect with customers in the restaurant space, say?
So two things come to mind when you ask that. There's content that's going to connect, which I think we talk a lot about how, you know, user-generated content, showing processes, back of house, building in public, like that type of content really connects. But then also like knowing your audience and delivering the right message to the right people at the right time. And I know it's cliche, everybody says it, but at the end of the day, there's a way to do it. So you have content that's going to resonate with certain segments of your audience. There are those people who have never been to your business. There's going to be content that you want to push to them. There's those who have been to your business within the last 30 days. Maybe they've been there, but they haven't been back for another 60 days. Maybe they've been there and they've logged into your Wi-Fi, but they've never made a purchase. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can leverage the data at each location to segment your audiences into buckets. And once you have these audience segments, then it's like, okay, what can I say to segment A to deliver the right message to them that's going to get them to take the next action I want them to take, whether it's coming back? Or what do I say to my audience that's maybe segment B, who is my loyal folks who have been there five times within the last month? Is it a message about downloading your app for becoming a member and discounts at points program or whatever it might be, right? So you're going to say, you're going to offer different things to different people. But unless you're actually looking at the data and leveraging that data to make intelligent decisions, you're missing out on a massive opportunity. I will tell you, like the companies who are doing their marketing well, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And they're doing it in a way that's automated. Like some of our clients, like we automate all this stuff. So no one even has to lift a finger. The data tells the system when to do the marketing, and the marketing sends the right message to the right people within those segments. And nobody even had to touch it. Everyone can continue running the day-to-day operations, focusing on whether or not Johnny called in sick or whatever is happening. You know, the soda machine broke. Like there are day-to-day things that get in the way of doing marketing really well, literally every day. And it's typically like the last things operators think about, yeah. Which is why taking that data and automating it is key.
Yeah. And I know, and you'll know this, you know, Sean Walsh, if he talks about this, he says, be the show, not the commercial. And, you know, there's times, yes, where, you know, to grow a business, that is the absolute best strategy, you know, because you want to entertain people who aren't ordinarily your customers, because it gets that interest then, starts bringing people in. And then, you know, the amount of businesses that still just post generic pictures of their menu items, in, you know, they're in a sea of other businesses that are doing exactly the same, and they're not resonating. Whereas if you can say, using that as an example, you're targeting people who haven't been to you before, and you can entertain them at that point, then they're more likely to get them to go, oh yeah, let's go and try that spot. And that's where you've got your opportunity then to capture them in a way, to in the most crude way possible, yeah, exactly. You know, to put it. So a vocal, a vocalizer, how does that help the restaurant owner? So I presume there's a perfect customer from your point of view, say from whether it's a small group of, you know, restaurant locations. What does it look like? You know, how does the tool work for the restaurant owner who's, say, got 5 sites? Is that something that's where you fit in terms of a target?
No, we actually sell into enterprise.
Right.
So typically 100 plus locations. I mean, if you've got 50 and you're growing, then it's a conversation that we'll entertain for sure. But the reason why is that there's implementation costs that go along with our product. Yeah. And we actually, during the implementation process, we work really closely with corporate to determine, like, what are your goals? Like, what are you actually trying to do? Are you trying to drive more foot traffic? Are you trying to keep a closer eye on your ROAS? Are you trying to get more app downloads? Are you trying to get more online orders? Like, every company is going to have their different goals. And so we build what we call blueprints that take those goals in mind, as well as we pipe in business data. We pipe in all the branded approved assets, all the messaging, everything into this package that we call a blueprint. And then we can automate activation or deactivation of these blueprints based on that data, or we can actually give an interface to each location for them to go in and manually launch things. So if they have a store opening coming up, they can launch a store opening program, and it'll say, I want to do this program in the zip code with this amount of money, go. And we've had clients that have spent, their marketers or local folks have spent 9 hours a week on their digital marketing, and they spend 9 minutes.
Wow.
Because it's just so turnkey and fast, and it's super effective. Yeah. And we can automate it all, which is incredible.
And when you think of it from that point of view, so say, you know, certainly if you're talking 100 sites plus, the time that it would take if we were doing that manually is eye-watering. And, you know, when you're talking about going from 9 hours to 9 minutes for one campaign, say, a big value proposition there.
100%. If you think of, like, I'm a marketing leader. I came up in digital marketing. But at every organization I've ever worked at, we've had an agency. I'm like, oh, agency is going to handle the PPC and the SEO. That's typically what you do. Because they might have 50, 100 different clients. And they can take all their learnings from all those different clients and apply it to your business, right? That's the idea of it all. So what we find, you know, even as a marketer, I could figure out the platforms, but I'm not going to go in and create an ad, create an audience, do all sorts of the bring in all the assets, like write everything, like, because we have some AI features that help to write content as well too in the platform, which is nice. But if you're doing all that, and now I got to go do it on Google, I got to do it on Facebook, I got to do it on Instagram, or I got to do it on TikTok, YouTube. It is so much work. And then I have to monitor it. And then I have to A/B test on each one of these platforms to see what images work, what copy works. Right. And so it's a full-time job. That's why people hire agencies to do it. But with our platform, it all just becomes automated, and it is an incredible time savings, efficiency, building product. I mean, it's insane. The robots. That's all I say. The robots.
Don't offer it to single solopreneurs, do you? But no,
not currently today, but it's definitely on our roadmap. We, Yeah, it's on a roadmap for sure.
Yeah, it's a far cry from 100 sites, so maybe I'll have to wait a little bit longer. But hey, I think in all seriousness, you know, there's so much power in marketing, and you know, there's, you know, you hear business say, "Oh, I don't do any marketing," but in reality, we've got to be doing it if we're wanting to reach the right people and be successful in business. We've got to do it, and you know, the tools like Evocalize are, you know, making that easier. And it's not only easier, is it? It's more specific because we're pulling on that data that really it feeds that insight into the tool to really make it effective.
Yeah, you can. Here's another example. You can build an audience around the footprint of a high school.
Wow.
And you could say, and when the local high school wins a game, come in for a free ice cream cone. And market just to that little area, right? Yeah. It's so powerful. We can get geo-based right down to specific neighborhoods. So if you have a specific fair that appeals to a certain demographic in a certain neighborhood, you could just market to these specific pockets, you know.
Powerful stuff.
It really is incredible. Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, ultimately we've got to get back to this, you know, the point that as much as we can do all that, you know, and have these great tools, undoubtedly Evocalize is, what we need to make sure we're focusing in on is that connection and resonate and make sure our content and what we're doing interacting with our community is making that connection. It's a fundamental product because you could do all the marketing you want, but if you're not making that connection, again, it's similar as when we were talking about the experience. It's wasted dollars. But I want to pull us back 100%. Now, we're coming towards the end, and I always ask people, because, you know, certainly for myself, I've rediscovered books in the last 5, 6, 7 years. What's one book or podcast or whatever it is, a resource that's really had a really big impact for you in your career or in life, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think obviously your podcast is great. there's other podcasts like Auden Hospitality has a good one. Sean Walshef has an awesome podcast. There's a bunch of restaurant podcasts out there. Toast just did a list of like 35 of them. That is just, there's so much content, but also insightful thought leadership to glean from. I think one of the more impactful things that I've done is there is that group I mentioned earlier, that digital hospitality group that we've both been a part of. I do enjoy going to that every week because it there's a different question that gets asked. Now, you don't know what it is till you go and you raise your hand, you get on stage to talk, and it's like, oh man, they hit you with a question. And it's like, oh, you either get off stage, you know, or
run away.
You try your best to answer with an insightful nugget. But that room has caused me to be a lot more insightful and introspective, I think, than other things that I've come up against lately. Think that a lot of times with as busy as our lives are, like I said, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I've got 4 kiddos, believe it or not. They didn't come from me, my actual body though. My wife is great. But they, we're always driving. We thought we were getting a slower pace of life, moving out like more country, but we're always on the go. And so I don't really get a lot of time, especially with the kids. Like I don't have conversations with them and stuff to really just think and be introspective. And that is what I really like about that room, honestly. Yeah. And it's connecting with great people who share the same values. We all align with the concept of the rising tide raises all ships. We're all there to help each other. It's a pretty incredible group.
Yeah. Well, that's how we connected originally. And I think it's, you know, it's a group of very, very knowledgeable people who have got huge amounts of experience, and it's a mastermind, isn't it? We're getting there every week, and unfortunately for me, time wise it's like it's right when we sit down as a family for tea, so I get in there every now and then. But you know, you're right, it's such a powerful space. It's such a, you know, a great place to give you that a different perspective on the way you think of something. And yeah, I recommend anyone who is not even anyone who's in the hospitality industry. This is for anyone who wants to better themselves. It's a great, and it's free to join. It's free to get involved with. You just got to bring your open heart to it, is essentially, you know, is yeah. helping people to do that. So, but yeah, it's definitely a great
It's space. Crazy. It's crazy. The amount of times where they coaxed stories out of people that you otherwise would not hear professionally. And it's humbling in a sense, but it also, you establish such strong bonds with the people in there. It's such a great room.
Yeah. No. So where can people find out more about you, the podcast as well, and also find out a bit about Evocalize and whether it's for their business?
Yeah. I'm pretty much only on LinkedIn in terms of social channels. I like to get sucked into the channel. So personally, I stay out of them. Other than LinkedIn, I'm pretty active. So just search for Justin Ulrich. I like to say I'm the cooler looking one when you find him, but I think it might be Justin C. Ulrich. At Evocalize on all the channels. So we try to push out, we post a lot. So we have weekly podcast episodes from the local marketing lab that we share every week, as well as the snippets, and try to call out the little nuggets as quick bits. So you could still get some value if you don't have time to listen to the whole episode. So follow Evocalize on LinkedIn. We're on X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, no, it's the local marketing lab there's some phenomenal guests on there, and that's what anyone who listens to this, make sure you check it out, because, you know, again, rising tide lifts all ships, and the more people we get listening to a variety of viewpoints on all the different podcasts, the better our industry is going to be, which is what we're all striving for. But listen, Justin, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate your time. And yeah, it's been great to get to sit down and really find out, you know, the experience you've got, but also the experience you're pulling from all those guests you're talking to too.
No, I appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.